grace, mercy, and peace are indeed yours from God your Father and from your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for today, but now he, Christ, has obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant. Our text is filled with this word covenant today. You probably heard it a number of times as it was being read. We Lutherans sometimes feel a little uncomfortable with this word covenant because by its very nature it implies a two-party agreement rather than a unilateral agreement. For this reason, Luther said that perhaps in many cases the word diatheke in the Greek is better off translated testament than covenant. Our confusion over covenant is not always helped in many ways. On page 18 of the Concordia Self-Study Bible, there is a chart which attempts to clear all of this up. It notes these covenants: the Adamic covenant, the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Sinaitic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and yes, the Phineas covenant, all of which are divided into three categories of royal grant, parity, and suzerain vassal. Now, if you understand covenant after that, you're better off than I. Additionally, we often wonder whether Old Covenant and our Old Testament, half of the Bible, are the same. Is New Testament the same as New Covenant? So what does our text tell us today? Well, first of all, it talks about an Old Covenant and a New Covenant. It talks about a First Covenant and a Second Covenant. He talks about, by implication, a good covenant, but then a better covenant. One built on good promises, but then one built on better promises. One that is obsolete and beginning to vanish, but then, by implication again, one that is permanent. So really, what is this first covenant, the old covenant? Well, we only need to look as far as our nose and our own good intentions to find out. You know, intentions like, I'm going to get that paper for Ref Era done by Tuesday. Or the intention like this, I'm at the dining hall today, I'm going to bypass the hamburger helper, the manicotti, and the chicken a la, and go straight to the salad bar. Or I'm going to be nicer to my wife and to my child and to my husband this week. Or I'm going to cut expenses, get rid of my credit card debt, and start living within my means. Or the intention to make every 8 o'clock class this quarter, even if it means that I have to set 4 alarm clocks 4 minutes apart. Or even, professors, that this quarter I'm going to grade all those papers as soon as they're turned in and get them immediately back to the students. Well, this old covenant, this first covenant, this vanishing covenant, is the covenant of the law. Do these things and I will bless you, says God. Of course, we can't do these things. We miserably and repeatedly fail. And that is because of our fallen nature of sin. Now, sometimes misery likes company. We can take company in the fact that when God gave the commandments to the Israelites, the people responded, "We will do everything the Lord says." Famous last words for them and for us. So we do understand then this first covenant as being the covenant of the law. But Christ, as our text says, is the covenant, is the mediator of a new covenant, a better covenant, a second covenant. This is best described in the long quotation from Jeremiah 31 that is in our text. It happens to be the longest Old Testament quotation directly in the New Testament. But especially these last words from Jeremiah 31, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more." You see, the second covenant, this better covenant, this covenant based upon better promises, is none other than the gospel itself, one that requires nothing of us, but which is pure gift, pure blessing, pure grace, one that is indeed Christ delivered himself to you and to me through the means of grace, based upon the objective acts of Christ in fulfilling the law, in willingly suffering, and in dying on the cross for you and for me. Indeed, where we vary and where our intentions often go astray, Christ never varied from that holy life he led for us. He never took his eye off the cross itself. He never focused on anything other than paying for your sins and for my sins. All for those of us, all of us, who could not keep that old covenant of law. And indeed, this old covenant is indeed vanishing in this sense, that when you and I die and we go to heaven to be with our Lord, we no longer live under the old covenant. It is solely and only the beautiful New Testament of grace. And likewise, when Christ returns on that final day, when the trumpets blow, there is only the covenant of grace for us who have been given that gift of faith. So don't let this covenant thing confuse you. Both the old covenant, the law, and the new covenant of the gospel are found in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. Christ has fulfilled the old covenant of the law. He has given us this blessing of the new covenant of his love. So we, baptized, we, fed at the table, we, continually bathed in the forgiveness of his sins, are the beneficiaries of this new unilateral covenant, this blessed covenant, this second covenant, which assures you and me that no matter how far our failing flesh might take us low, God raises us even higher. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. Thanks be to God for the blessed new covenant. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.